I didn't do anything.
Okay, Peri Kavi, we have concluded learning all about the artifacts, the different pieces of furniture that were in the Beis HaMikdash. And from this point onward, we begin to analyze the Beis HaMikdash schematic, the actual structure. We haven't talked about that at all. Evan Hoysa, B'Kodesh HaKadoshim B'Ma'arovi. There was a stone in the Holy of Holies, which was on the western end of the compound. Okay, so the Har HaBayit is a very, very large area. The temple, as we're going to learn, was towards the north side. North pushed back to the west. So it was the northwest area, doesn't mean northwest corner, but the northwest area of the Har HaBayit. The actual temple mount is like, it's like round or square. It's like a, it's not oblong. But the Beis HaMikdash was primarily rectangle. It's a long structure, right? It's a long compound. And towards the west half, that's where you have the actual structure. And in the back of that structure is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when we prayed in the Beis HaMikdash, we were facing west. And in this chamber, this inner sanctum, that was on the far west of the temple compound, there was a stone. On this stone, the ark, the proverbial golden ark with the cherubim, rested on this stone. Ulefanav, and just before it was tzintzenet hamon, a jug of manna, which had been preserved from the Jewish people's sojourn in the desert, as well as mate aharon, the staff of Aaron, that miraculously blossomed following the dispute and rebellion of Korach and his friends. Be'ez Shabana Shlomo es Habayis, when King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, v'yodaininu shesofo lechorev, that in the end the Beit HaMikdash will be laid to waste and destroyed. So in preparing the structure, bona boy mokoim lignais boy ha'orein, he built a chamber, a space, in which the Aron would someday be entombed. Lemata, underneath, b'matmoinies akumais v'akalkalois, in a whole labyrinth maze of tunnels.
Labyrinth.
V'yeshayo hamelech, and Yeshayo hamelech, who was the king in Judea approximately 35 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, tziva, he gave the order, Ugnozoi b'mokim shabana shloimei. It was entombed, hidden away in the place that Shlomo had originally built for it. Shanemar, as it is written, Vayemer lalavim hamevinim. He said to the Levites, who understood, L'chol Yisrael, hakadoshim la'Hashem, the who, so to speak, understood on behalf of all the Israelites who were holy to Hashem, Tenu esarein hakadosh b'bayis hashabana shloimei. Place the ark in the home that Shlomo has built for it, the son of David, Melech Yisrael. Now there's no issue of carrying it on the shoulder. You got to get it into this tunnel series, labyrinth series of tunnels, and that's where you're going to place it, which is what they did. And they placed, along with that, the staff of Aaron and the tzinsenet and the shemen hamishcha, the special anointing oil that was crafted by none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam goes on to tell us that v'chol elu, all of these things, meaning the ark, the manna, the blossoming staff, as well as the shemen hamishcha, which was used to anoint high priests, as well as kings, did not come back to the Jewish people at the Bayit Sheni. Va'af urim v'tumim shahoyu b'Bayit Sheni, even the gemstones that covered the Kohen's special Kohen Gadol's special breastplate, with which the Jewish people were able to communicate with Hashem and get answers to very important questions of national defense, security, or importance. The Kohen Gadol obviously had to wear a breastplate because otherwise not a Kohen Gadol, but it wasn't functioning.
And we know that Achashverosh wore it.
Achashverosh wore a breastplate, but it didn't work.
Right, no.
It didn't function. And we know this, Shenemar, as it's written, Adamoid Kohen Urim V'tumim. Until the Kohen will rise again to the Urim V'tumim, which is a pasuk in Ezra. And it's a euphemism, which we use to say, people like to use sophisticated language to say when they say Mashiach will come, when they say when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Urim V'tumim again. So why did they have it in the second base of Mikdash? It was only lahashlim shmona begadim l'kohen gadol, because there's a halacha that the kohen gadol has to have 8 different vestments. So you have to have those vestments. Shelo yehi mechuser begadim. So you shouldn't be, so to speak, missing clothes. This halacha in the Rambam, on the surface, seems totally inexplicable. The Rambam's a book of halachas. Pray tell, what difference in halacha does it make? If when Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash, that he built a place to put buried treasure. Furthermore, Shlomo HaMelech, it seems, this is on his own accord. The Rambam says, Shlomo HaMelech be'eit shabana Shlomo's building, ve'yada, and he knew she'seif le'chadev, and the end is going to be destroyed. So, bonoba, he built. What do you mean Shlomo HaMelech built? When it came to building the Beis HaMikdash, we have this pasuk that says, hakol b'ksav miyada Hashem alai hiskil, was ordained, was directed from on high. This is what the Beis HaMikdash Hashem told them to build. That's how he built the structure schematic, the temple schematic. So how did he decide on his own to build something? I mean, how? He did whatever he did. But why is that part of the halachas of Beis HaBechira? Why is that part of the halachas of... This is the temple schematic. We should be talking about what Hashem instructed Shlomo HaMelech. Not something he did on his own.
But there's still differences between the first Beit HaMikdash and the second.
So there are slight structural differences. That is correct. The Rambam told... We learned about this many moons ago already. We learned that the Rambam says that they followed the basic structure of the first Beis HaMikdash, whose foundations were still standing and was still identifiable, but they also followed the instructions that's written in the book of Ezekiel for the third Beis HaMikdash. So the second Beis HaMikdash was kind of a conjunction of the old and the future, the past and the future. Now, another interesting thing over here is, the Rambam, in the chapter we just finished yesterday, talks about the kelim, the artifacts. We went through the menorah, we went through the table, we went through the altar. Yes? The ark? We don't talk about the ark. That's a subject actually for a different day, why the ark isn't even mentioned. But if we're talking about the ark to some degree, we're not talking about fashioning the ark because there was no new ark fashion.
But we don't need the ark to do mitzvahs.
We don't need the ark to do mitzvahs. B, that's correct. B, the ark was never replicated. It's only one ark. Right. So there's no mitzvah of building an ark. Fine. I'm not even going into that now. But he's talking about the ark. So if you're talking about the placement of the ark, should not the placement of the ark appear in the Rambam alongside the placement of the menorah, the placement of the shulchan, the placement of the golden altar? Why do we talk about it here? So the Rebbe answers this question with a phenomenal chiddush, with an incredible concept. The Rebbe says like this. The truth is, that when the Kohen Gadol would go into the Holy of Holies, what was he going into? If there's no Aron, it's not a Holy of Holies. We just designate an empty room. We say, okay, this room is the Holy of Holies. What makes it Holy of Holies? You have to have, so to speak, the battery in place if you want the machine to work. What made it a Holy of Holies? And the Rambam does acknowledge that in the second Beis HaMikdash there were some things missing, but the Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaMikdash. So the Rebbe says, the bottom line is that Shlomo HaMelech built a Kodesh HaKadoshim above ground, and he built a Kodesh HaKadoshim beneath the ground. And that's why if you look in the language that the Rambam uses, he uses the word Be'esh Shabana Shlomo HaBayit Bonabo Mokom Lignos Lemata. It was a Mokom Lemata. There was a Mokom Lemala and a Mokom Lemata, a place on top, above ground, and a place in the labyrinth maze beneath the ground. And in doing so, Shlomo HaMelech actually created 2 possible homes for the ark. There's the above ground place for the ark and the beneath ground place for the ark. True, when it's beneath the ground, it's not seen. And when it's not seen, there are various things where the Wi-Fi doesn't work because it's too deep in the ground, so the breastplate doesn't work. And we says the Shekhinah wasn't really there in an overt way because the ark is, in a sense, exiled, subterranean, it's beneath the ground. However, nonetheless, it is in its rightful place. And certainly when Shlomo HaMelech built this chamber, this secret chamber, he built it with the intention as he was instructed by Hashem. Because he knew that there has to be 2 places for the ark. There's the glorious days, and there's the exiled days. 2 different places. And therefore, as such, that means, if you really think about it, the Rebbe says, the 3 Batei Mikdash are not mutually exclusive. Because the Beit HaMikdash that stood the second time, and the Beit HaMikdash that will, Be'ezrat Hashem, stand the third time, is all a continuation of a Beit HaMikdash beneath the ground that was never destroyed. Even if the foundations aren't visible anymore, ultimately the foundations that will be built to the third Beit HaMikdash are connected to the labyrinth that's beneath the ground. And that's not just tunnels. That was the special place which Shlomo HaMelech built to house the Ark, the Aron HaKodesh.
Well, we don't know where it is.
We do not know where it is. And I will guarantee you, we will not find it until the coming of Mashiach. That's not the point, though. The point is that our holy mountain continues to house the Ark as it always did, only now it's in an exilic reality rather than a free reality. And now, once you learn this way, you understand the Rambam's halacha. This is the halacha. He's explaining to you how the Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaMikdash, even when the most important artifact doesn't seem to be present at all.
Yeah, but still it says he built underneath the Gniza.
Gniza could be used euphemistically as a place to hide old Sifrei Torah or old holy books. Gniza just means hidden. So yes, it was built in a hidden way. And Yashaya HaMelech hid it away when it was still tremendous wealth and opulence. Do you know there was an amazing find yesterday in Israel? At least it was announced yesterday. They found remnants from the Babylonian destruction. That's the destruction we're talking about. And they say there's evidence of enormous wealth. And we know that Yeshua HaMelech, 35 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, lived with an incredible economy. Yeah. Enormous wealth. Yeshua didn't put this as the Babylonian soldiers were coming with their spears. He was running, you know, five steps ahead like in some drama movie. 35 years before. In other words, when everything was as it should be. But Yeshua knew the time is now. And so the Beis HaMikdash continued to function. The Aron was in the Beis HaMikdash, only it was no longer visible. And so the Aron remained in the Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Aron remains there, waiting for the third Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt speedily in our days, at which time the Aron and the manna and the staff will all come back to its rightful place above ground, and of course the Urim V'Tumim will function perfectly then. May it be speedily in our days. Amen. Yeah.